Magnesium plays a critical role in vital bodily functions, including energy production, heart health, immunity, and more restful sleep. Magnesium is ubiquitous in metabolic pathways that affect virtually all organ systems. But magnesium deficiency or insufficiency is one of the most pervasive nutritional problems afflicting the majority of Americans. Ultra-processed foods, many common medications, stress, and medical conditions like diabetes all deplete magnesium. So I'm excited to tell you about MagSRT from Jigsaw Health. MagSRT has rightfully earned a reputation as the most popular, most bioavailable, and best-tolerated magnesium brands in the world. The developers of MagSRT have solved a problem that deters many from getting adequate intake of elemental magnesium. Their unique formulation is gentle on the stomach and doesn't produce unwanted GI effects. For more information and to order MagSRT, just go to JigsawHealth.com. That's JigsawHealth.com. Use coupon code HOFFMAN10 for $10 off your order. That's JigsawHealth.com and use code HOFFMAN10 for MagSRT, time-released magnesium.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. Now, if you already subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, I did a series of articles on ferritin, just two, one about low ferritin and another about high. I talked about low ferritin in that it may be a malabsorption syndrome where we're not absorbing iron, inflammatory bowel disease could be behind that, maybe celiac disease, not eating enough high heme foods, a vegan diet without supplementing for iron. All of these things need to be taken into consideration. And then I wrote about high ferritin, and I did say in the first paragraph of that article about causes of high ferritin that it's not an exhaustive list. So that's what I want to get into. A sip of water. That's what I want to get into on this podcast is an interpretation of an elevated serum ferritin. And this is from a continuing medical education text. This is from a hematologist. I wanted to dive into it a little bit more without getting too far into the weeds, but I just found it fascinating. So how do practitioners interpret a high elevated serum ferritin? Well, it requires consideration of several separate disease categories. And these come under the broad headings of iron overload, acute inflammatory conditions, liver disease, and alcohol excess. Now, let's talk about the first one, the first bullet point, causes of iron overload. A primary cause could be hereditary hemochromatosis or Wilson's disease. A secondary cause of iron overload could be too much in a transfusion overload. Excess dietary iron, getting too much iron, not just from food. It would be a little difficult to get too much from food, but if you're also taking a supplement, that could really push you over the edge, right? Another secondary cause would be a thalassemia. They call this the Mediterranean anemia or sideroblastic anemia. These are types of anemia that may be playing into a secondary cause of high ferritin levels. Now, causes of high serum ferritin without iron overload, remember that ferritin is also an acute phase reactant. So this is aside from any iron overload at all. So the causes of high serum ferritin Without iron overload, one would be liver disease, which is non-alcoholic hepatic steatosis, non-alcoholic liver disease. Or it could also be viral hepatitis, right? If you've got viral hepatitis, it's an acute condition, and that would be a reason why an acute phase reactant like ferritin may be high. Other causes of high serum ferritin without iron overload, alcohol excess. Absolutely. Those, you know, if you drink to excess, and excess can be more than two drinks a day, really, right? Maybe they don't consider that excess in Italy or France or other places, right, around the world. But yeah, it could be excess, and that could be hard on the liver. Other causes of high serum ferritin, chronic inflammatory conditions, like inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis. Also, bacterial infections, any kind of infection, because ferritin is an acute phase reactant, it could be why the ferritin is high, a bacterial infection. It could also be due to malignancy. And when the ferritin is especially high and it's staying high, it may be time to visit a hematologist. Another reason for ferritin to be high is thyrotoxicosis, too much thyroid hormone, a thyroid storm, possibly in the setting of Graves' disease. There's also another reason for high ferritin without iron overload, familial hyperferritinemia and cataract syndrome. So, the most sensitive method for predicting whether the elevated serum ferritin represents iron overload due to hemochromatosis is the transferrin saturation. So when your doctor, when your practitioner is checking you for this and they're looking at your ferritin level, they'll also do an iron panel, which includes transferrin saturation. And a transferrin saturation of greater than 60% in men and 50% and greater than 50% in women has a sensitivity of over 90% for iron overload. So if this transferrin saturation is elevated on more than one occasion, then it would be time to test for the common mutations of the HFE gene, which is often indicated in Caucasian patients and white patients. So if you've got that gene for hemochromatosis, that would be the place to look. Now, practitioners also say that you want to get tested when you are otherwise well and avoid screening tests for hemochromatosis if the patient is acutely unwell. So the time to have these blood tests is not when you've got an infection, you're sick, a flu, something, you know, more serious than that. It's not the time to test for that. Wait until you are well. If the patient is sick, the serum ferritin may be misleadingly high, as it is an acute phase reactant, and that's the reason. Conversely, the serum transferrin saturation falls during acute illness and therefore may mask the presence of iron overload. See, everything that we don't know, and we have to rely on our practitioners, right? And I tell most people, listen, you know, if you're sick, you're unwell, cold, flu, anything, fever, it's not the time to get your blood drawn, because not only will your ferritin be high, but your blood sugar could also be high. And whereas it's not, you know, pre-diabetes or diabetes, it's because you're unwell. Because a natural reaction of the body is to increase blood sugar in that setting. So, we talked about hemochromatosis. Generally, the clinical manifestations of that hereditary hemochromatosis can be grouped as early or late. When it's late, there may be arthritis, painful handshake, there might be pigmentation of the skin, there might be cardiomyopathy, and all of that kind of thing. So patients with a diagnosis of hereditary hemochromatosis, that genotype, they must therefore have serum glucose and liver enzymes checked on a regular basis, right? So, and, you know, it's always recommended to give blood. And if ferritin levels are really, really high, like greater than 1,000, it may be time for a liver biopsy to exclude liver cirrhosis. That is something you will talk about with your doctor. So, these are the things. With regard to alcohol, alcohol has been shown to exacerbate liver damage due to iron overload, right? So avoid taking vitamin C when eating foods that are high in iron, such as red meat. Tea with meals is felt to be beneficial as the phytates in tea bind iron. You see, the phytates, even the tannins in tea can bind the iron, right? I think it's more the phytates than the tannins, however. So drinking a cup of black tea or a glass of iced tea when you're having that steak, if you have a lot of iron in your body, is probably a good idea to reduce the absorption of that heme iron from the meat you're eating, right? So there's another rare disorder called Wilson's disease. And this is another genetic mutation to be looked at if other things are ruled out for why ferritin may be high. Now, secondary iron overload. Iron overload secondary to multiple blood transfusions, you know, if a patient's been in the hospital and they required transfusions due to blood loss, or other hematological conditions like these anemias, like sideroblastic anemia, are usually self-evident and they don't present a diagnostic problem. So, you know, these are things to be looked at by your practitioner to decide the best course of action. And it may be that you want to reduce the iron that you're absorbing from your food. It could be that you will give blood. Blood donation is always a good idea. Now, with regard to alcohol, it is known that the regular consumption of alcohol is responsible for the disruption of normal iron metabolism in humans, resulting in the excess deposition of iron in the liver in approximately 1/3 of alcoholic subjects. The mechanisms involved are largely unknown. However, it is likely that the two major proteins of iron metabolism, which are ferritin and transferrin, are intimately involved in the process. The elevation of serum ferritin caused by alcohol excess can occur without elevation of other liver enzymes and often falls dramatically with abstinence from alcohol. So best to stop drinking and maybe 2 or 3 months later, get tested again to see what's going on there. And often in the case of alcoholism, we often find high liver enzymes, the AST and the ALT. And what's peculiar about those liver enzymes is most often we find an upregulated AST, or rather a high AST, that particular marker in alcoholism, more so than the ALT. But again, we could see both of those high along with the high ferritin. And I'll tell you what, this is reason to give your liver a break, right? Stop for a few months, get retested again, see that everything is resolved. Now, let's talk about steatohepatitis. increase ferritin with normal transferrin saturation. It's frequently found in patients with hepatic steatosis. The elevated ferritin is thought to be due to the combination of disrupted glucose, lipid, and iron metabolism. So hepatic steatosis, what's that? It's fatty liver. Fatty liver. The elevated ferritin reflects iron overload only in those patients in whom it persists despite an appropriate diabetic diet. So let's talk about viral hepatitis. Acute hepatitis secondary to viral infection with maybe hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, Epstein-Barr virus, or CMV will cause an elevation in serum ferritin, indicative of the liver inflammation, but not iron overload. So you see, ferritin can be high with liver inflammation. Again, high ferritin is an acute phase reactant. So, chronic infection with hepatitis C or B may be less obvious. And blood tests should be checked even if there's only a minimal disturbance of liver enzymes in cases of ferritin that remains high, that is unexplained. So it needs to be checked. Now, let's talk about inflammatory conditions. Patients with autoimmune inflammatory diseases like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis commonly have an elevated serum ferritin, which more likely reflects disease activity, especially in the case of lupus, than iron status. Where the patient is anemic, the serum ferritin is an unreliable guide to the patient's iron status. So it needs to be looked at further. Active infection will also be associated with an elevated serum ferritin in the absence of iron overload. You might also see an elevated C-reactive protein, right? CRP or an ESR, right? And that would alert your practitioner to these possibilities with this kind of inflammation. And did you know heavy exercise as an ultramarathon running can cause an elevated serum ferritin, among other acute phase reactants? You know what's also interesting? Heavy exercise, like really, really ultra marathon running, can also contribute to a high uric acid. We have seen in a few cases where these serious elite athletes, they get gout because their uric acid is so high due to the heavy exercise. See, we always want Goldilocks. We don't want too little. We don't want too much. That's really kind of where it all falls. Now, malignancy is also an important cause of an acute phase reaction, but is unlikely to manifest as an isolated elevation of serum ferritin and not other lab abnormalities, right? Malignancy, you're going to find other things that are going on in the labs as well as the patient maybe not feeling well or anything like that. And serum ferritin is elevated in thyrotoxicosis, thyroid storm, you know, elevated thyroid, Graves' disease, things like that. Now, familial hyperferritinemia and cataract syndrome, causing of cataracts, is a rare disorder which is not associated with iron overload. And of course, affected members do require an ophthalmology assessment and the removal of those cataracts, which is a pretty common thing we're seeing lately. And with regard to cataracts, if you've been taking vitamin C in your life, it helps to maybe keep the lens pliable and things like that. But in the case of too much iron or ferritin overload, even the late Dr. Andrew Saul talked about the possible danger of taking too much vitamin C, particularly at mealtime, because of how it really helps the uptake of iron from the meal. And if you are eating an iron-rich diet, dark meat, poultry, egg yolks, red meat, all of that, and you're taking a lot of vitamin C, it may increase or contribute to iron overload. And I remember the late Dr. Andrew Saul would say to take instead the vitamin C in between meals. Of course, you don't want to take vitamin C, ascorbic acid, on an empty stomach. That'll irritate your stomach or cause diarrhea. What you want to do is take a vitamin C in a buffered form so that you're able to take it on an empty stomach in between meals, so it's not going to contribute to the uptake of iron from the food that you're eating, right? So there would also be a little uptake from the plant sources of iron, you know, your spinach, your lentils, your peas. But because of the phytates in those foods, it's difficult to get any uptake at all. And that's why, you know, you have to source your foods appropriately. So again, there are many reasons for high ferritin levels. It's not all about high iron intake or anything like that. If anything, we see it on the other end of the spectrum, especially with vegan diets being so popular. We're seeing more anemia than anything else. But I just wanted to dive further into the ferritin question, especially high, according to this piece of literature that I was gleaning from for this podcast. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.